Good morning and welcome to Radio Gorgeous. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with South African author Amy Heydenreich. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited to be speaking with you.
And you're here talking about your first book, Shame on You.
Correct. So exciting.
In your words, could you introduce us to the story of Shame on You?
Okay, so Shame on You is set in the world of smoke and mirrors of Instagram, and it follows the story of Holly, this absolutely perfect vegan, raw health blogger who believes that she has cured her illness through following a very restricted diet. And she has an army of fans who all absolutely adore her. She is the symbol of purity and wholesomeness. And then the one night she is attacked by someone when she goes on this blind date. And everybody is incensed that such a salt of the earth person would be hurt in this way. But then secrets start coming out of the cracks and we see the motivation for that person. And we see some of the secrets that she is hiding, and a cat and mouse chase ensues as the two circle one another.
Excellent. And one of the things that this book really explores and highlights is that relationship with ourselves online, and how, you know, she presents this idealized version of herself in her life.
Yeah.
And the young man also presents, you know, he's not online, but in his mind he presents an idealized version of his relationship with his former girlfriend. Mm. So it's not just online where we live out these fantasies.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all editors. So everyone wants to, in hindsight, in one's memory, like with Tyler, you edit the past to suit a story that you are comfortable with. And I think online, it's just a very material way of doing so, of selecting the favorite moments of your life and presenting it to an audience, which I think is natural. I don't think there's anything bad about that. But then things start to get toxic when you are promoting a way of living and claiming that a certain lifestyle will change your life in some way.
Yes, because there is this, you know, there are, and we've seen it, I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow is...
With Goop,
with Goop right now is undergoing, you know, claims were made, you know, about things. And I think one of the people that you sort of were thinking about as inspiration for your story was Bell Gibson.
Yes, exactly.
And Bell Gibson is an Australian blogger who said her... Could you tell us a bit about her?
Of course. So it actually relates to the spark for my novel, where I love cooking, and I used to cook a lot of vegetarian and vegan dishes, and I put it on Instagram, and I was very much part of the community. And as a part of that community, I followed Belle. And when she suddenly disappeared off Instagram, I looked for her because I had read through all her captions that she was very sick, and I thought something very bad had happened. And then I Googled and I saw the whole scandal arise. And I mean, basically, she was directly claiming that her way of living could cure cancer, and she received sponsorship, donations. So she benefited financially and from advertising and brand partnerships, and it was all a complete lie. There was never even a hint of illness in her life, which for me just then started a story whirring in my head. You know, how can we push this to the limit?
Yes. And in the story, something that interested me, because I think you were a PR.
And yes.
Working directly with people who are influencers and getting them, you know, getting those deals. So you had, and you know, it really, an aspect of authenticity through your book of understanding of that world. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I thought, you know, I literally Googled Belle Gibson today, and now on her Wikipedia, she is occupation scammer.
Wow.
So for the rest of her life,
yeah,
and she's a mother,
yes,
and whatever, for the rest of her life,
mm,
that lives on.
Mm.
And I was interested because the people in your book are, you know, sort of single and solo, so it really is only affecting them.
Yeah.
But I just thought, you know, I mean, you take that even further,
mm,
and where do you end up, you know?
Yeah.
I was very sort of interested in that. But back to your book, you put so much in there. On one hand, it let's talk a little bit about the structure of the book,
mm,
because we do find out a lot about both Holly and Tyler. So, and tell us a bit about the structure of the book and why you made the choices alternating between them now, them in the past.
So, as my debut novel, I wasn't studied in the structures of psychological thrillers. So what you're reading is a very organic unfolding of a story. And, you know, I think especially in an early draft of the book, the story was revealing itself to me. I liked the, you know, telling it from their two perspectives and going into the past and into the present. And you might notice when you read through the book that there are certain parallels in their lives. So Tyler likes to think that he's very different from Holly and that he's better. But as you said, he is pretending in real life. He's created an idealized version of his own life and quite a segmented version as well. So he does certain things. But then in another capacity, he's a surgeon, he's a hero, and, I mean, in the papers, people are looking up to him. And then later on in the book, something happens where he becomes even more similar to Holly, which, and, you know, introduces a new little power play between the two of them. So,
and neither of them are perfect human beings, like none of us are.
Mm.
But they both, it's interesting because you, as a reader, your sympathy flip-flops,
yeah,
between the two of them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone has a backstory and everyone has gone through difficult times and is deserving of understanding and sympathy. And then it's what you do with that. And they're both quite extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that sort of extreme violence as well, because there is some extreme violence in the book. I don't want to give too much away, but tell me about, you know, like you're including that in the book.
It's so funny because I'm actually not comfortable with extreme violence myself. It just, you know, it seemed right in the story, and the initial violence is quite metaphorical as well. So I won't reveal what actually happens, but it literally, Tyler wants to break what makes Holly famous. And he does that in a very specific way. So the violence is very targeted. So I think I tried to do it in a way which wasn't too disturbing and also leave it open to the reader to create their own pictures in their own mind.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, what led you to writing? Because as you said before, you were a PR, and what this story sparked in your head, and you thought.
So I've been writing since about 2011, and I think I always wanted to write fiction, but I wanted to find my fiction writing voice first. And that took a lot of time. It took me entering several short story competitions to gain my confidence. I won a few. I got a couple of really great opportunities. And I built my writing career from the ground up. And I spent a lot of time working on my craft. And I actually wrote two books before Shame on You, which I think is important for anyone working on their writing to know that, You know, when a debut comes onto the market, it's not, they don't materialize out of nowhere. There are often a lot of other books and a lot of failure in the wings.
Fantastic. I did want to talk to you more about some of the things in the book, because I think you have said that your sort of online behavior has changed since really focusing on writing this book.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, two things have happened since this book was published. I became a mother to a little baby, and I really examined the point of social media. And as I said earlier, I have no problem with putting up one's cherished memories and curating them, and especially in motherhood as well. You're not going to put up the picture of yourself at 3 a.m. with a screaming baby. I mean, it's too dark then anyway to take a picture.
But also your hands
are full of baby. I mean, yeah, it's not a good flat lay. But I now think about performance. So if I put something on social media, I think, am I performing for anyone? Am I playing a role? Is it of the Amy, the writer, where I'm trying to be someone, or Amy, the mother, where I'm trying to be a perfect mother? So, you know, if I'm putting that pressure on myself, then I take a step back. And, you know, I think that pause often helps a great deal.
Yeah. I was saying, it just came up last night in my family, having dinners, friends over, and my son has a friend who does films, and you know, you can look back, and he's frequently in them, and you can look back, and they're adorable, and they're great, and you know, my son's now 13, and my husband said, well, adorable and being 13 is really probably the greatest thing. And you know, my son said, oh yeah, I'm not doing that anymore, and Mom, my friends found you online. And I was like, okay, what? And he's like, well, just look it up. Just Google yourself. And so there's Josephine and I on Sex Tips. And I was like, oh, that's fine. But I'm not 13.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, God, what is it? And he wouldn't tell me. I was like, oh, my gosh, what is it? But then, yes, there is that aspect of it's public forever.
Yes. You mentioned that earlier in the conversation, the, you know, it was Belle. And, you know, it does have an impact on people's families and extended families. And, you know, that's something, I mean, the title, Shame on You, deals with public shaming. And a question I wanted to ask with the novel is, do people really deserve the level of shame that they are given online ever?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes. And, I mean, this is a difficult novel in the sense that both characters do some very bad things. And I think it does place the reader, it asks some uncomfortable questions. But I think at the root of it, I wanted to examine public shaming and that anger people feel.
Yes, it's really interesting in how that makes us then act in person. And I do find a lot of people are incredibly meek in real life and wildly aggressive online.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, there was that case of, like, Madeleine McCann's.
Yes.
You know, and there was, you know, and we call them trolls. I mean, but...
Yeah.
And if you... And I don't understand the motivation for it, personally, because I don't really care about the other people that much. I care about the people I like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm very involved with the people in my life.
Yeah.
Not very involved with people who are not in my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, who attach... And I don't think that's new. It's just a new mechanism to do it.
And it's a lot easier.
Yes. And it's almost... I think it's allowed people to almost become fetishistic about it.
Yeah. Very good word for it.
And it feeds something. And there's no end to it. There's no bottom to it. But then when that woman who was a troll, when she became exposed,
yeah,
she then killed herself.
Mm.
It's So well, what, how, like, what? Did you not know what you were doing?
Yeah.
And then that public shaming, then it was turned on you, and it was hideous.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, everything about that story was absolutely awful. But in what do we do? I mean, what do you propose we do? I mean, you actually, at the end of the book, it is an open question. I think I know what would happen.
Mm-hmm. I love, yeah, that was deliberate on my part, because I love seeing what, you know, what side a reader chooses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, how cynical your readers
exactly.
Really are.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a cynicism test at the end of the book. So
I lean towards the cynical side. I'll say that with the ending.
Yes, I'm with you on that. But it is also another thing that I thought was actually quite interesting is because both the subject matter and you yourself, you're quite a young woman. Everyone says, you know, reading is dead and, you know, whatever. Mm. But actually, you know, in this, you know, people who are, if you're spending all that time on Instagram, it is likely that you're not reading as much, you know, just comparatively speaking. But who are you finding are your readers?
It's different to what I expected. So, yes, devices do compete for reading time. And, you know, I've spoken to a lot of even booksellers who read a lot. They find themselves in bed on their phones. And I find that people assume it's going to be younger women, but there are lots of men who read and enjoy this book. And a lot of women, 40, 50, who may not have their own Instagram accounts. I mean, I'm talking women in their 50s and 60s now, who like to understand the world and see what people are talking about. I think it expresses some people's fear of digital if they don't use those platforms. My oldest reader is a 92-year-old man.
Fantastic.
And he loved the book.
Fantastic.
So that for me was very exciting, because I was quite concerned when I wrote the book of writing about technology and making it timeless and not making it a gimmick, because it's more expressing the way people engage with their reality than actually with Instagram.
Exactly, and that was one of the things that Holly in particular, you know, you're saying she's an incredibly lonely person,
mm-hmm.
you know, for all this adulation and people recognizing her and whatever, and yet, you know, that is something she has created, so she can't really engage with people that much,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she's created this huge public front.
Yeah, and I mean, in my job when I was working with influencers, another spark was I was speaking to a really massive fashion blogger with, you know, hundreds and thousands of followers, brand sponsorships, and she said to me, I live in a tiny flat that I can barely afford, there's one section with some good light in, but I present this image of this luxe lifestyle and nobody knows. And, you know, I think people who are drawn to expressing themselves often on social media are actually naturally introverted. And then they are thrust into the spotlight. And as you say, the nature of their role distances them even further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beware. But enjoy the book. And what's next for you?
So I am currently finishing edits on my second novel. And I'm so excited about this book. It's very timely, it's quite feminist, and it's, you know, there's a small digital element, but where it differs from Shame on You is that Holly is not your average person. What happens in my next book could happen to any of us at any time.
Fantastic. We can't wait. Amy, fantastic to meet you. Thank you for coming on Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you so much. So lovely to speak to you.